Well, good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Today is the 8th day of February 2018. And my name is Peter Wickham. I'm so happy to be with you. I've been away from you for a week. And I want to first sincerely apologize for my absence and to let you know that I'm still in the employment of the Brass Tacks and the Nation Starcom group. So fear not, I'm here as usual. I am forced to make a living up and down the region, and as fate would have it, I was unavailable over the course of last week. So I'm happy to be here on this Thursday to be able to chat and pick up all the things that we missed. Remember, call number 434-1790. You can email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. And you can also WhatsApp me at 266-IVOB. And I want to sincerely thank all of you who inquired after my well-being when I'm away. As I always say, when I'm away, I feel the love. And I appreciate very much the fact that I am missed. I would appreciate that a lot more than if people were to say, I'm glad that you're gone. So I'm back and happy to be here. Touch a bit on the three political scenarios that we have before us. Since we were last together, we had an election call in Grenada. Prime Minister has called an election in Grenada for the 13th day of March 2018. And this day has a significance. It was the day of the revolution. It was also a day on which a previous election was called. That one, the NNP did not fare so well in. So I sense couple of things about the election day that I'll just tell you quickly. Firstly, the Prime Minister has given himself more than 3 weeks to get to that date, because he's called the election now and he's given himself more than 3 weeks. I sense that he has opted for a long campaign because he believes that he's better positioned to fight a long campaign than the opposition that is struggling already. And I think it is well known that the opposition in NDC in Grenada is struggling. So a long campaign is in his interest, and I notice that he's opted for that. The other thing is that he seems to be building a bridge to the former revolutionary types, the socialists, the Peter Davids of this Grenada world, where he seems to be building or extending an olive branch to these people that would carry some level of symbolism in relation to the 13th of March. My feeling is that as he moves out of politics into retirement, he's indicated that he is moving into retirement. And I actually do think that Dr. Mitchell is serious about this, that he wants to ensure that the NNP is a party that can also speak not only to the people who opposed the revolution, but people who supported it. There are questions as to whether or not Peter David will be the heir apparent. I have my own views on that. And I think that part of the whole conversation about the calling of the election on that date is really about building a bridge to those types. So that is Grenada. I think Dr. Mitchell is in pole position. I've expressed this view from before. I think the real challenge now that he has is managing expectations, but that's a longer conversation that we can have at another time. Antigua and Barbuda, no election called there. One widely anticipated. I've been spending quite a bit of time on the ground in Antigua. I can't tell you why, but of course you can speculate as you may want to regarding the likely situation there. But recent polls that we did do show that the government is holding its own and doing reasonably well in that regard. The thing that fascinates me about Antigua, though, is that yesterday Antigua had the debate of the, well, you could say decriminalization of marijuana, but essentially it was a drug control legislation which was amended. So the lower house has passed, and I believe the upper house will also pass today, what is known as the ganja bill in Antigua and Barbuda. So in Antigua and Barbuda, a person can now hold three plants, I believe, or four plants. The dimensions of the plants are really neither here nor there. But the important thing is that 15 grams for personal use is now allowed in Antigua. The legislation has also expunged the criminal convictions of persons who have been convicted in recent times for amounts of 15 grams or less. So you can now legally smoke a spliff in Antigua. You can also smoke a spliff in Jamaica. And I think this opens the doors to all kinds of interesting scenarios. And I listened to the debate with great interest yesterday. Sadly, the opposition in Antigua did not attend. The DNA opposition, which is Joanne Messiah Splinter from the UPP, she attended and made a reasonably good presentation. I was impressed I'm always impressed with the way that she speaks, but the position and the position that she held in relation to the legislation, which she supported, but she had some questions which were quite reasonable that she raised in relation to it. So her position and the position of the Antigua government is now that persons can hold small quantities of ganja. There was a conversation about ganja tourism, ganja resorts, and the possibility that persons can now come to Antigua to indulge in an activity on a recreational basis, which seems relatively commonplace across the Caribbean. I was also happy that the Prime Minister in his conversation made reference to the cadres poll that they conducted last year that sought to establish a level of public support for the decriminalization of ganja. And he made the point that in Antigua and Barbuda, there was close to 70% support for legislation of this type that will decriminalize for limited use. And this is the same as the case with several other countries that Cadres has done surveys in. I should point out that Antigua had one of the highest levels of support, and I think it had a lot to do with the fact that the survey was conducted after the Prime Minister indicated that they were moving towards decriminalization. So that is an interesting development. Congratulations, Antigua and Barbuda. The question of Barbados is, what are we waiting for? Now, coming home, politics is very, very hot on the table last couple of days, and everybody keeps asking me when, and I don't know. I just wish the Prime Minister would get it over and done with. Suffice to say, I have some strong reservations about the wisdom, the political wisdom of engaging in estimates debate at this time, when what the Prime Minister needs to do is to call an election. My sense is that the Prime Minister may very well have had ideas of an early-ish election, which is within January or February in December. But I believe that because Ms. Motley has essentially thrown on the gauntlet and started the campaign, he is now trying to show her which God she is serving. Now, my concern about this is that I believe the longer that he waits, the more likely the people of Barbados are to show him which God he is serving. I feel that people are ready for an election. I feel that people are anxious for an election. I do not take any comfort, if I were a person that supported the government, in the fact that the unions called out the workers and the workers did not attend. My sense is that the workers did not attend largely because workers are of the opinion now that this type of action doesn't make a lot of sense in an environment where we really need to have an election call. Because fundamentally, the question of salaries and wages, I do not think that the workers think, and let's be clear, I do not think that the workers think this is an issue that will be addressed by the Democratic Labour Party, because the Democratic Labour Party is bordering on illegitimacy at this stage. I think that in people's minds, they've already decided what they will do, and the question is when. So I don't take any comfort, and I don't think the Prime Minister should take any comfort in the fact that the call was not answered. It is not an indication of support for the Democratic Labour Party. I think it's an indication of support that Barbadians are finished. They're fed up, and they're no longer engaging in these kinds of pedantic games and dialogue and whatnot. What they want to do is they want to vote. They're ready to vote. And I feel that they ought to be given the opportunity to do so sooner rather than later. So against this background, the idea of going into an estimates debate where you're going to have a conversation about your plans and programs for the future, about tabling Plan R, as it has been called, which is the new Sustainable Development Plan to 2021, when there is no mandate from you to be in office until 2021. I think all of these things are the kinds of political games and machinations that make no sense. Now, I accept that Prime Minister Stewart may have made strategic moves in the past that I have considered unwise, and he's been proven right. But I really do feel on this occasion that he's overstepping his bounds, and what he is doing is proving to be very unwise. So you will have a debate for the next 2 weeks about the Democratic Labour Party's plans and procedures that will take place on the floor of the House with parliamentary immunity and cover. And it will take place before an election is called. And I just consider it to be highly unwise. But I guess he wants to give himself the opportunity to say that he will run out the clock until whenever he feels he needs to run out the clock. But just know that You can run, but you cannot hide. Controversy over comments that Mr. Kerry Simmons may have made, reference to the Prime Minister. I've heard the phrase before. I don't know whether I can say it on air, but I don't know what it is. I wasn't even aware that rats had a bottom to speak of. And I don't know if someone says that you are a rat's bottom, what exactly that is intended to mean. But maybe Carol or someone who's a little bit more familiar with the colloquial language in Barbados can speak to it. I am not a fan of Kerry Simmons' muscular approach to politics. I was not a fan of the muscular approach that was reflected in many previous politicians, you know, Lionel Craig and others that have had a similar muscular approach. But at the same time, I accept that there is a place for that type of politics, largely because there's an appetite for that kind of politics. And I don't delude myself that what I may like or dislike is not necessarily legitimate or has a place in the eyes of some others. But let's be clear, Kerry is not the only person who uses muscular language. The Prime Minister himself uses muscular language. And I think that there's a certain amount of hypocrisy, not only on his part, but also on the part of people in the clergy and so on, who called for apologies from Kerry Simmons, who have been silent. When the same Prime Minister Stewart used muscular language and made reference to the fact that he will not have dinner with Miss Motley because he likes the waiter to know whether the person paying the bill is a man or a woman. I thought that comment was highly offensive, and there was no call for an apology. There was no call for an apology when Prime Minister Stewart indicated that the only person who thinks that he's an attractive man, the only woman who thinks that he's unattractive is his opponent, making reference to an opponent in the previous election. That was an offensive comment and a slur, and no one called for an apology on that. I didn't hear the clergy coming out and making comments when an individual was referred to as a ball pooch cat. And this thing about the... But I didn't hear Prime Minister Stewart condemning it, and I didn't hear the clergy and all of these, this chorus of annoyance in relation to Kerry Simmons. I didn't hear it. I also didn't hear it when Minister Chris Sinclair told Miss Motley that she should strip naked and run down Broad Street and cause offense to people. That was a highly offensive comment. And all of this chorus of condemnation that I'm hearing coming in respect of Kerry Simmons, I didn't hear when all of these things were said. I didn't hear the Prime Minister on that. I have not heard him speak on that yet. I have not heard the Bishop speak in relation to references to this strip naked speech. So I can only see it as some level of hypocrisy that I am hearing this condemnation now of Kerry Simmons. And let's be clear, I do not like that kind of conversation on political platforms. It's never been my thing. But I also appreciate I'm not the only person that lives in Barbados, and there are some people who like it. There is a market for it. There's an appetite for it. But the point is that we have to be clear and fair coming across the board. If it is that we abhor muscular language, then let's be clear that whenever it comes, we need to abhor it. So we need to abhor it across the board, but we can't be selective, because selectivity in politics is what I call hypocrisy. Dennis tells me that we have to take a break. We come back, we continue with more of Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I was just reminded by Dennis that we are running until 1 o'clock today. So I'm sorry that I rambled on as long as I did. I thought that we had it too. So we're on until one. So we're going to have to do some rapid fire. Wayne is the professor's book, the book of Barbadian English. Professor Allsop's, right? It's not in Professor Allsop's Book of Standard Barbadian Usage. I think that's what it is called. So it's not in the dictionary. So we have to assume what this term means. So I have one reference from Wayne, and I want to thank Wayne for that reference. But we have to delete the F word that he included. Yeah, the word that rhymes with loop. That's what I'm told. It's that word. Yeah. So Dr. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, hi, good morning,
Peter. Morning, sir, how are you going? Good to hear you. First up.
You're still part of my thunder.
Okay, sorry about that.
I would not go into that because you cover it fairly good, you know. As a matter of fact, you cover it well.
Which is what, the rap boxy comment?
No. I don't really talk about rap. I really hate the rap, to say true. But when you talk about people, in other words, let me say this there, right? Miss Motley been hit left, right, and dead center in this country. Mm-hmm. All these players that coming out now, I never hear them come out asking for anybody to apologize for the things that they said about Miss Motley. You understand me? Mm-hmm. So I am not surprised. I'm really surprised at my good friend Jeff Brooms, though.
Well, what's to surprise you about that?
But
you notice where Jeff Brooms made the comments?
Of course, the
right.
Democratic Party.
So when you join up on the Dems, will you must make comments like that?
At the Astar B Walks, get together, you know.
Yeah. Get together.
I must say, and I am not deceitful in this. Astar B is my very good friend.
I think he's a very respected individual.
My very good friend, you know.
I did a couple of them lectures in my past.
Well,
the one let me know where wrong there, no. Not
well,
even eat Bigfoot songs.
I even in on the fence, looking out. I get when I got when I pass and then I got past my gas roll up, you know. I afraid. Yeah. Anyhow, so you covered that aspect of it. But I want to say this to you, Peter. This to Miss Motley and this to all the relishers of the Barbados Labour Party. I believe firmly that Miss Motley and the Barbados Labour Party opposition party have the balance of power in their hands, right? Mm-hmm. And I put me in them position, if I was a member of parliament sitting on the Barbados Labour Party benches, I will not attend next week sitting. I will not engage in any estimates debate, okay? Because, I mean, it is silly. If the government go to parliament now, which they intend to do next week, and engage in this whole long, week-long debate about the estimates, you know, and they forecast anything for Barbados, okay, in their current, in the upcoming year, right, and on. And they put measures in place, and the government changed in a few weeks. Are you saying to me, and the government have to be Miss Motley's government, you know, the Barbados Labour Party led by Miss Motley? Are you saying to me that Miss Motley has to take up the estimates as presented and run with them?
She has to.
Why?
Because it's the law of the land.
No. Don't give me that.
No, sir, has to take them up, but the point is that she can always amend them.
Peter, well, that's what I'm saying. Because don't forget the highway.
Hmm. No, and sir. I actually agree with you, but I think that there's a toss-up. I think the strategists in the Barbados Labour Party have to ask themselves, is it more beneficial to cuss the government for a week, or is it more beneficial to essentially poo-poo the legitimacy of the exercise by walking out? And I think I'm closer to being on your side, where I believe that Miss Motley should make a three or four minute statement in response to what Chris will probably say for 4 hours. And after that, lead a walk out of Parliament. And just make it clear in 3 or 4 minutes, look, we are not wasting time with this exercise. We want to vote, and she can leave Parliament with everyone. I don't know what position the other two opposition people will take, Dr. Agar and Arthur, but I don't know. But the point is that once the budget is passed and it becomes the law, then of course she would need to respect it. But then it can always be changed and amended as times passes, because I think we all understand that budget is not a realistic assessment of where we have to go as a nation. Because right now we are standing in a very perilous position. And it's not business as usual. And that seems to suggest that it is business as usual.
In the Trump speech, right? In the Trump speech of when Arthur first sitting, okay? First sitting of Parliament. The gun general at the time make it abundantly clear, okay? That they would do something in respect of government cutting public servant salary.
Mm-hmm.
That was reversed, right?
Yeah.
David Thompson's first speech in Parliament, right, was to answer the whole thing about the highway and the arrangement that they had with Traces.
Which was reversed.
And I'm sure there have been a couple more that ain't coming to mind now.
Mm-hmm.
So I am saying, and that background, I am saying that Miss Motley and the Barbados Labour Party don't have to go to Parliament to engage in a week-long debate.
But what about my suggestion, though? What about the other side of it? In that they have provided a platform, right, to get cast. Should it not be an option that opposition should engage and should use the opportunity Because you have a televised platform for 2 weeks. Well, not televised, but it's on online. Mm-hmm. For 2 weeks or 10 days, how much ever time it is to pass it, that you can essentially custom for all of that time. So is it not wise to use the opportunity to be abusive of them and all the foolishness and so on? Peter, why not?
Peter, I listened to the to Parliament debate on Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I call it the Patrick King Show. Everybody from the government side seemed to be beaten up on this blogger.
This Patrick. Who's Patrick though? King.
You understand what I'm saying?
Who's Patrick King?
The Pigpen Man. He's my friend, so he could call him the Pigpen Man.
I know Patrick. He's my Facebook friend.
You understand what I'm saying? So I call it the Patrick King Show. Mm-hmm. I am saying
you like the blog, you like the style as well.
Listen, let me say a thing to you, man. Mm. I always say, and my close friends would always tell you, that I believe that the United States is the greatest nation on land or on earth, right? Because you ain't allowed to slander people at will and all that, right? But you can challenge anybody from the president right back down. You understand? That is the fairness of the United States. All right? And I am saying, in little pumpkin vine country or island like Barbados, where you plant a pumpkin, when it's a pumpkin vine, you plant a pumpkin vine in St. Thomas and the vine will run in the sea. Mm-hmm. It's that small. You have so much thin-skinned people, and people believe that they are so big and mighty that they cannot be touched, even though that they are doing and saying and putting so much obstacles in ordinary people's way. I am saying you need people like Patrick King and a lot more like Patrick King that got
guts to pull them back.
You understand me? Yeah. So I know and I hope, right, that Patrick is on solid ground when he's making his pronouncement.
All right. You were going to make another statement because you're going to have to push, so I'm
going
to let you continue.
I'm not going to distance myself from Patrick.
Yeah. No, I'm not asking you to. I'm just asking your views. So.
No, but I had a good run, so.
Mm-hmm. All right.
For
your giveaway. Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. We take the next caller. Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Pete.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Right. Now, I am going to take a line slightly different to what you were saying. About this election,
mm-hmm.
I want to go into some constitutional matters. Have you ever heard or listened to when this election voting day at the results when the returning officer announced the winner of that election?
Yes, sir.
Give the public what to say.
I announced that in respect of whatever constituency and so on, that the power vested in me, that the person is returned for whatever. But I know what aspect of it in
me? What they usually say, because I was a company agent at one.
I can't remember the exact words.
But what they really say is that person is duly elected member to serve in the House of Assembly.
That's right.
For 5 years.
Mm-hmm. They don't say for 5 years? Do they say for 5 years?
Yeah.
They don't say for 5 years?
For 5 years.
I don't remember. I remember reference to a parliamentary term.
Okay. Which is 5 years.
Right. Which is 5 years. Yeah.
Which is 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, let it go down this matter. I want to deal with Dennis, but our father is the producer. Anyhow, now, let it go
you
down.
Can talk about him because he can hear, but he can't respond, so this might be a good opportunity to cuss
him. He won't come in. Now, the other thing that I am seeing,
uh-huh.
We talk about productivity.
Right.
Now, when you are elected for 5 years, you are elected to produce whatever you intend to do for the constituency. Mm-hmm. So much so, in that 5 year period. I want to ask the question, how does 90 days come in? Now, I am concerned and I am worried about this 90 days.
But you ain't gotta be worried about the 90 days. Sir, the 90 days situation is a very simple thing. Right?
The ninety days
situation is something that the governments are given, the Prime Minister is given, in the unlikely event that the dissolution of parliament falls at a time when there is civil unrest or, well, there's a hurricane or something like
that. Don't go further. Don't go no further. You come right on the point. Mm-hmm. This 90 days is not a natural 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember that the taxpayers got to pay for this 90 days.
Okay.
This is a cost overrun. Mm-hmm. As long as there's nothing that taking place to cause you to go into 90 days, such as emergency matters also, you should not use it.
Right.
I call it on the attorneys of this country. We mm-hmm. have so much attorneys
in this country. You know what? You know where I would distance myself from you? You have a view that the 90 days is likely to be abused, right? You had a situation in Trinidad and Tobago where the Prime Minister indicated that she is using every single one of her 90 days. So she had 5 years and 3 months, right? This is Kamala Prasad Bisesa. First time in history, right? The Prime Minister Sandiford used it in 1994, but he gave himself 90 days after dissolving Parliament because he wanted a long campaign for reasons best known to himself.
Hold on a second.
Look at those two scenarios and you ask yourself if any Prime Minister in his right mind would use the 90 days. Because Kamala used the 90 days and she lost. Erskine Sandiford used the 90 days and he lost.
I am not worried about
the judgment, sir. The judgment in these issues is not constitutional. And that's why everybody who is telling me that these things are going to become constitutional crises and whatnot, leave that for Ezra Allen and the academics. The issue has to be determined based on, hold on, let me finish. The issue has to be determined based on what you as a voter do. If Prime Minister Stewart decides to trespass upon the 90 days, and he goes and uses it, he has not broken any law. But then he got an answer to you. All I would say to you is if you are unhappy about the fact that he has abused that period, then you deal with him electorally. You go in the voting booth and deal with him.
That would take this discussion.
Right.
Now, Parliament closes on the 6th of March.
Mm-hmm.
These members were duly elected to serve in Parliament.
Right.
What would they be doing now after the 6th of March?
Caretaker government. And they're still getting paid.
You're coming down to what? Yeah. That's what I want you to do your research.
Sir, I'm not doing no research. There is a conflict. I've had this conversation in Antigua recently, Antigua Barbuda, when Gaston Baldwin Spencer was doing the same nonsense, right? Where people were asking, there is a challenge where legally or constitutionally you get paid from the time you're sworn in, right? Until such time as someone else is sworn in.
Good.
But there's also a legal complication where you're supposed to be paid as a member of Parliament. Parliament is dissolved. Right, Parliament is dissolved, so you can no longer be a member, but you're still getting paid.
That's
the constitutional irregularity. In St. Kitts and Nevis, there was an MP up there, Astafan. Astafan returned the portion of the money that was separating the dissolution from the new election. He returned it to the state because he said he did not think he should benefit from it because he also thought it was unconstitutional for him to be receiving money when no Parliament was in session. Right?
All right, let me go a little further. When the election is called and the government wins, two people swear in. The Attorney General and the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Those other members has not been legitimately members of Parliament because they were not sworn in as yet.
Yeah.
So the Attorney General and the Prime Minister continue to be caretaker. There is something in there that the public don't know. Called this program is to educate the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know that at the eve or at any event where the members have been, suppose, 10 lost a seat. They lose a seat in Parliament. You know, they were elected to serve in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
You know that these members will be paid until the next election. It's called, although they lost a seat. Check it out for me.
No, I don't know about that.
You check it.
As far as I know, that doesn't work. If you lose, you start getting paid.
You should not be paid.
Right.
You should not be paid, but it happens.
I wasn't aware that it happens. Who it happened to?
You check it. Check it.
So who it happened to? You tell me.
I tell you it happens. That is a convention to have in this country. That is why this country needs educated. Despite the fact that they lost the seat in Parliament until the new Parliament is resumed, these members, despite the laws of seat, continue to get paid. Check it, Peter. This is where the taxpayer of this country should understand where the money is.
So you're saying that, let's say, if the election is held on Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
And the new parliament is sworn in on Friday. So you're saying that the old MPs will be paid for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday as members of Parliament?
Yes, although the last receipt.
But, I mean, it's what, 3 days?
Yeah, although the last receipt. Well, check it.
I know, but for 3 days, I mean, that's a concern.
It takes longer than that. Sometimes, although you lose your seat, like, for instance...
Normally people are sworn in. Normally, people are sworn in. The Prime Minister is sworn in within hours of an election, and normally people are sworn in within days, right? What they did in St. Kitts recently was what they did is they swore in the MPs immediately after the election, and then they swore them in as ministers in a public ceremony later. So they will still be getting the money as MPs within days of an election. The period of time, sir, is a question of days, and I don't know that we can split hairs over days. You really want to see the back of this bunch now?
Yeah, I know. Naturally speaking, they draw every blood out the tax.
But then, sir, the onus...
You talk, let me finish here, Peter. Peter, you talk about productivity. If you come to a country and you told the public that give you 5 years, were you doing a 90-day drawing taxpayers' money?
And, sir, that is the reason that you, as a voter, need to express your view on that via the ballot box. Sir, you are on good ground where I am concerned, you know, because I personally think that we should have a fixed election date, and you should be told that by such and such a date, the election has to be held, and that is the point at which your salary will stop. I find it is ridiculous that you can be sworn in on this day and your salary starts on this day, and then you can run a situation where you can take 5 years plus 90 days and you can be drawing money for all of that time. So I agree with you. But I am saying that what we have to do is we need to answer these issues, because we cannot have a legal argument with Prime Minister Stewart, because he's right. He is exercising the right that he has. The thing is that he doesn't understand the difference between a right and a discretion. And if a discretion is improperly exercised, then ultimately you will pay the price. And I'm saying that if you use those two examples, this is Bob and Spencer in Antigua and Kamala Prasad Bisesa, which is the most ludicrous example in Trinidad and Tobago, who used her every single day of the 90 days. She was punished for it electorally. So you think that a prime minister in his right mind will go doing that same foolishness? And as far as they're concerned, if he's doing the same foolishness, then he obviously know what he wanted to happen.
And you got ministers and especially you backbenchers that are not in any portfolio. What do you say, drawing 3 months' salary? This is ridiculous. The taxpayers got to pay for
Look at the situation in St. Kitts and Nevis in the last election. The chief electoral officer, the morning of election, said he ain't declaring no more results. He going home, right? And you know very well what happens once the chief electoral officer does not declare results. They have no results. That's the problem legally, that he's the person that got to stand up on the podium and say, look, effective whatever you are declared. But you just read it, right? That's the way it works. He said he ain't declaring no more results. He going home, right? The man's email address is labordog@gmail.com. Right? We understand why he went home. Okay? Now, 2 days passed, and I was in St. Kitts and Nevis for that time. And the country essentially is at a standstill because he will not declare results. The former prime minister is maintaining he's still prime minister and is making statements as prime minister. He's still receiving his salary. And the governor general is saying, but I can't swear anybody until I get results on the election. So he ain't swearing in anybody. And then when he was given the results on the election, he invited the person who was leading the party that had the most seats to swear him in, which was not the current prime minister, Timothy Harris. So then he too was playing games. And the problem is that in all of this time, the prime minister is still being paid as prime minister. These, sir, are constitutional peculiarities that the framers of our constitutions did not anticipate, because they are accustomed dealing with people in the United Kingdom, like Prime Minister May and people like that, that understand discretion and that know about resigning when they lose a majority, that know about holding no confidence votes, and that know that you don't trespass on that 90-day period until you have an extremely good reason to do so, like a state of war. The problem is that people in the Caribbean don't understand that logic, because we don't know about discretion in the Caribbean. We know that we've got two women, and the two women is sit down and have a meal together, and everybody know about everybody's business. That is our thing. We don't understand discretion in this part of the world, and this is the problem with politics. It filters into politics. And we have then to have a constitutional culture that speaks to each and every one of these scenarios. And until that happens, sir, what you have to do is focus on what you're going to do when you go in the ballot. If you're unhappy with Prime Minister Frendo Stroke, when you go to the ballot booth and you speak to him through that way. And you understand, let him understand by virtue of your ex that you are not happy with several things that he may have done. But don't lose any sleep. When we get an opportunity, and I suspect that we will get an opportunity in the not too distant future to speak to constitutional reform, all of these are the issues that we have to take on board, sir. And I guarantee you that if I have any breath left in my body by that time, if these three elections don't kill me, I will be also part of that process where we have to identify all of these issues that we need to correct in terms of our constitutional culture. Final word from you, sir. Okay, you're gone. Sorry. Okay, I guess you had enough to say, and we could go on to another caller. Good morning and welcome. 4341790. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good. What about yourself?
I'm great.
Good. Peter, this morning I will continue from something short that I just said before going to my substantive point. That is that I agree
you
with
saw, you. You sound like Patrick King, though.
Yeah, this is Patrick.
This is Patrick.
Peter, I want
to. Been talking about you just now.
But I heard, but working, do they talk my name all the time? They talk my name all the time. There's a good thing to say bad things. Same thing to do with Christ. But I will hold firm.
They said bad things about Jesus Christ?
Of course. To see the wine bibber and all kind of things.
Drank wine, but I mean.
Yeah. All right. But
welcome to the program.
I want to agree with Reggie in part. When he spoke about the opposition not debating the, but this is not my substantive point. Though. When he said spoke about the opposition not being part of the annual revenue of estimates and expenditure. You know why, Peter? I agree with you, and the video said that the leader of the opposition should respond to the Minister of Finance and then marshal her troops out of Parliament and allow the Speaker, Michael Carrington, right, to preside over the family of the Wattier family. In other words, the furniture that remains empty in front of him. That's what he would do if I were with her. I would not be in any cross debate at all with the members of the administration. Say, as the time has expired, I have not talked to you. You can have all the talk. Have the floor for yourself. Come out. Leave them. Respond to Chris and come out and leave it. That is exactly what I would do. I would caution her to pace herself at this time, given the fact that there is a possibility that the 90 days may come into effect with this administration triggering the general election for May or June. So do not run out every week to decide that you're gonna take, even though David Thompson did it. What I would do is pace myself until the election call, because that's what we got to make you understand. You don't have the monopoly on time. Every day the clock is ticking. He can't stop the clock from ticking. All the talk he got, he can't stop the clock from ticking. Right? The point I want to make, though, Peter, I want to move on to my two things I want to say. Because if this Prime Minister, Peter, only speaks to the diaspora and the supporters of the Democrat Labour Party at all branch meetings, never, Peter, since he held the office as Prime Minister, he has a conversation in terms of a press conference outside of the Chamber of Commerce, he does not. And the press get the opportunity when they are close to pull him one side if you see them speaking and respond to certain things that may be asked. This is why I want to say to the members of the supporters of the Democrat Labour Party who are Christian minded in this country. Right? Peter, Matthew chapter 5:1-10, Christ kept a press conference in Jerusalem and in the surrounding areas, when he spoke about the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 3:1-3, Peter, Jesus, again, press conference with the concerns of the people in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. Peter, again, Peter, Exodus chapter 12:1-3, God spoke directly to the people, to his people.
Patrick, how you know all of these biblical things?
The reason why, Peter, is that there are some supporters of the Democrat Labour Party who are in favor of the Prime Minister not keeping press conferences with the people of this country and believe that they have got a right to support him in what he is doing. The point I'm making is that if you call yourself a Christian and you've got a Bible under your arm every Sunday running to church, then you must be in agreement with that if it was the practice of God, then it should filter down to the practice of those
If God can do it, then he can do it.
Yes, that's the point they want me.
No, Patrick. You know, one of the points that I think you have to appreciate is that the Prime Minister's style of leadership has served him well. And Patrick, it may gall you, I know, and it may gall several others, but the reality of the situation is that he has been more successful as a leader than Erskine Sandiford. Because he has remained in office. Patrick, I did not expect this government to last a year. It has lasted 5 years. It was one of the weakest governments in history, right? And I personally felt that basically with his style of leadership, which is essentially not very strong, and with a weak government, a majority of one, that it would have fallen apart in no time at all. But he's here 5 years later. So Patrick, he proved you and me wrong. So my point is that you got to understand that as much as he doesn't like talking and he's holding press conferences, and I think it's foolishness for a person to be leading and not holding a press conference, it has served him well because it has kept him in office for 5 years.
No, but Peter, but understand the method that was being used. No, and I heard you in your preamble spoke about the march and the public servants who didn't come out. Mm-hmm. But we must understand that Peter, prior or just before the public servants, the day for mm-hmm. the public servants to come out, based on what the unions had told them, that there was a letter circulated by heads of departments in this country, which I hold a copy, that indicated to the heads of department and the environment secretaries what should be done in the event that persons assigned to certain ministries want to participate in the march, what should be done.
Yeah, but,
so if you intend to rule, if you intend to rule by fear, Peter,
in the first time a letter like that went out?
No, but the point I want to make, Peter, is that you cannot want to govern by fear. And that is the challenge that I'm having in this country, where people believe that they have an inherent right to govern by fear. We now witness the I get a lot of questions for the floor of Parliament this week, telecommunications act, cap to wear too. You understand? Mm-hmm. We believe that they've got a right to silence people in this country. And I'm saying, Peter, where does democracy stand in this country when people believe that in order to rule a country, that they must now govern by fear? Peter, I have a serious problem with that. But let me move on, Peter, in the interest of time, to the comments made by the Prime Minister as it relates to the appointments, because we are now on appointment spree in this country. Now, Peter, I think this is disingenuous. When this administration came to office, we had people in the public service who had in 10, 12, and 15 years of service in this country. When the government, the people in this country haven't been promised that not a single person will go home. When the government retained the office on the 13th of the 21st of February, immediately after, there was a retrenchment program exercise in this country that saw persons who had 10, 15, and 12 years of service going home. The point I'm making, Peter, is that the government is now on an appointment exercise for persons now who are only doing share 3 years. Peter, it is disingenuous to those persons who would have had mortgages, who would have had loans for the children going to school, and all those different things, who are now placed on the breadline, struggling to get the severance mm-hmm. pay. White persons who have just came in can now be holding and entitled now to hold an appointment letter come March 1st. Peter, it is disingenuous. The same applies, Peter, for the persons now, the housing, housing, the giving a tenant, the conveyance for in the housing area, such as Hainesville and Sayers Court and Silver Hill and Gore Hill and Deacon's Farm and so on. Peter, how does a government explain in good conscience having not proper maintenance in terms of electricals, Peter, in terms of the plumbing in these units, I know about to hand them over to individuals who live in them for over 20 years, Peter.
Okay.
The point I want to make, Peter, is that the only spin-off from this for these individuals is that they won't have to pay rent. But Peter, when a wall that divides Patsy and Mary has issues, who fixed that wall, Peter, in one of those same units? Who fixed it?
Is it the business
of the other person?
Because historically, it would be the business of the government because it would be theirs. But when you create that challenge, I agree with you, when there's no clear dividing wall, I don't know who would do it. It's something that has to be approached properly. And I would think that the idea of having a management company or a management entity that takes care of the units and deals with those kinds of common problems would make a lot of sense. But the problem is when you're doing it in a hurry, you can't think. Good to hear from you, Patrick, and you continue on your mission, which we could probably talk about sometimes. I have a note here from someone who reminds me of the words of Winston Churchill, and I think it is quite appropriate. He's saying, it's contrary to precedent for government to hold office until the last moment of their legal tenure or legally extend tenure, and it would be very unwholesome for any practice of that kind to be introduced. The foundation of all democracy is that people have the right to vote. To deprive them of that right is to make a mockery of the high-sounding phrases which are so often used. At the bottom of all the tributes paid to democracy is a little man walking into the booth with a little pencil, making a little cross on a little bit of paper. No amount of rhetoric or voluminous discussion can possibly diminish the overwhelming importance of that point. The people have the right to choose representatives in accordance with their wishes and feelings, and I cannot think of anything more odious than for a prime minister to carry on with a parliament so aged and to try to grapple with perplexing and tremendous problems of war and peace without being refreshed by contact with the people. And these are the words of Winston Churchill. He was the man of the century in the United Kingdom. And I agree with you, sir, for on the point that it is so fitting. Thank you for drawing that to our attention. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.